Welcome back, The Lighter Side, Joe Grammatico, along with Tom Kaliopoulos, and on today's show, we're going to talk about the Eastern Conference qualifying round. Tom, playoff hockey's on the table today. How's it going?
Joe, I'm excited. Just folding some clothes right now, and, you know, I'm going to put that aside for right now, and, I'm getting excited. It's nearing, and, I can feel it. Like I told you the last show, I got my beard started, and I think we're ready to go.
Yeah, it's 24 teams this year, 12 from the East, 12 from the West. Yeah, the top four teams based off of a points percentage will get a first-round bye, and I believe they're going to play first seeding to match up against the teams that win these qualifying matchups. So we'll get into that interesting dynamic. So we'll talk the East today. And of course, Boston, Tampa Bay, Washington, and Philadelphia are the four teams that get this bye and don't have to participate in the qualifying rounds. That's their, I guess, their COVID gift for playing well during the regular season.
Yes, and you need that. I mean, you have to reward the guys, the teams. I was a little worried at first when Joe, when we started talking about this this breakdown here, what they were going to settle on, what scenario, and I was worried about those four game teams, those top teams in each conference. You know, how they said they were going to be playing games. I think they're playing games amongst each other, right, to get seeded.
Right, right.
For them, so they are playing for something as well, but they're also getting rewarded for a good regular season, and kudos to the NHL for figuring that out.
Yeah, so interesting matchups that we'll talk about. So the way the seeding will break down, 5-5 against 12, it's Pittsburgh, Montreal, 6 versus 11, Carolina, and the New York Rangers. 7 against 10, the New York Islanders and Florida Panthers. And then 8 versus 9, the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Columbus Blue Jackets. That first matchup, the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Penguins, they finished with the 5th best record in the Eastern Conference. They typically, if you would have matched the regular playoffs, they would have been that third team in the Metropolitan Division. So they probably would have been playing Toronto, I believe, in that first round. But now in this qualifying round, they're going to be playing a team in the Montreal Canadiens that was 15 points worse than them, 10 points out of a wild card spot. And with 11 games that Montreal had remaining, wasn't even really going to sniff the playoffs. They were playing sub 500 hockey at the time, so they weren't even making a run at the time of the stoppage.
Yeah, that's a gift. It's a gift from Montreal. And you know what? It might be the gift that keeps on giving, because, Joe, I'm thinking, not feeling good about this series for Pittsburgh for some funny reason. And I don't, you know, it's going around the league. I mean, you know, you have the pundits talking about Carey Price, you know, and how he could in this 5-game scenario really, you know, pull a rabbit out of the hat against Pittsburgh and kind of leave them going home like Tampa Bay did. A lot of people are picking Pittsburgh possibly to go to the cup.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, these teams, I think, met twice in playoff history only, which surprised me. I mean, 98 and 2010, with Montreal winning each series 4-2 and 4-3, respectively. So it's been a long time since they played one another.
Right.
The season series this year, Pittsburgh took 2 out of 3. I'm thinking the shutdown could be an asset or a liability, Joe. For Pittsburgh, you know, obviously the asset is they got to get plenty of their key injuries to guys, taken care of and toned down a little bit to the point where they might be able to show up like Guentzel. I think he's ready to go. Whereas if they had the normal playoff start, he probably would have been a scratch. So, but the liability, Joe, of this shutdown in the playoff structure is, as I mentioned, they got to face Carey Price. And, Carey's on the backside of his career. He hasn't got too many more, moments where he can actually assert himself to being one of the greats. He's got to get some hardware, Joe, in order for him to do that, especially wearing the Hab jersey. A lot of goalies came through there and made it happen and hoisted the cup. Carey Price is going to be just another guy in a long list of good players for that organization if he don't do that. What's your take on that?
Yeah, that's my big question. I mean, first of all, Montreal Canadiens, if Thomas Tatar is your leading goal scorer, you're not scoring a lot of goals. And he did put up 20 goals this season, but Thomas Tatar isn't, he shouldn't be the best player on your hockey team offensively.
No.
And then you got, like you said, Carey Price is playing towards the end of his career, and he played well, and his team just couldn't score for him. So you head into this playoff matchup. They're playing a Pittsburgh team that knows how to score. And that's the big question. Can Carey Price stand on his head and shut down the Penguins, knowing that he's going to have to give up a goal, two at the most, and two might even be too much?
Yeah, that's pretty much saying it, Joe. And I look at it this way, too. And, this series is going to be a key to watch how it's officiated also, because that's going to tell a tale. Obviously, it normally does, but more so in this series because of what you just mentioned. Lack of productivity up front for the Habs. And but you look at it on paper and you'd say the Penguins all day, have a better offense. But it's really not so. If you really break the numbers down, Joe, and getting back into those saber metrics that your nerdy ass loves, and those 5-on-5 numbers, there's not a big disparity there. They're pretty right. much even. So I'm looking at that, and basically, I'm saying that, it's a stat. There's a slight edge in scoring chances, and Montreal has that. But the Penguins basically have the better shooters. They finish more on their scoring chances. So what I'm saying is, if it's a penalty filled affair, I look for that to be a Penguins advantage. If it's 5-on-5, pretty much the whole series, and if Montreal can play discipline,
right,
that would give them a little bit better chance to not have to rely on Carey Price the whole time. Mm-hmm. So, it's one of those things where, the Penguins are going to have their finishers back. They had some injuries too. I think Montreal will try to match Philip Daniel up with Crosby. But, my coach is putting my coach's hat on, Joe. I'd almost rather them focus on shutting Malkin down.
Right. Yep.
And what I mean by that is, and people are probably going to think I'm crazy when I say this, but it's just my weird hockey mind or whatever. It's, maybe over processing. But if you shut Malkin down, I think that bodes well because it has a harsher ripple effect through the team, because when he gets frustrated, it kind of spilled over to other areas because of his personality, more so than if Crosby gets shut down, because when Crosby gets shut down, he's doing other things that still makes him an impact player. You see where I'm going with
right.
that, Joe?
Nope, I'm following you. I completely agree. I'll buy into that.
Yeah, so that as a coach for Montreal, I'm basically pushing that agenda. I'm looking to shut Malkin down and his line mates, frustrating him to the point where maybe he's not the best team guy for that week.
mm-hmm.
and see if that could be a positive for you, because they're going to need, Montreal is going to need everything they can. Their defense basically, you know, has been a question mark. It's been a big question mark going into the season.
Mm-hmm.
However, they have improved over the course of the season, you know. So, you know, that's going to be a big thing. And Carey Price is going to have to be there. He's going to have to make second shot save opportunities that maybe other goalies in these playoffs aren't going to have to make.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I look at Pittsburgh's defense, Joe, and they're pretty much both equal as far as they're struggling. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of the cores have great depth, so they can't afford injuries.
Right.
Okay. So basically, in looking at that, if they can stay 5-on-5, I think Carey Price could be a slight edge, you know, and Pittsburgh's goaltending could, depending on where it sits and who they decide to play, you know, they could match them because, let's face it, I mean, you got Patrick Murray over there?
Matt Murray and Tristan Jarry.
Patrick Murray, but Matt Murray, and I know Jari's been the guy all year, but I also know that you got Murray there who's won the cup and he's carried his team.
Yes.
It's ironically, he's the only goalie in this series that's won a cup. So all the Carey Price talk, you know, and yes, people are going to forget about this guy. And I still say, Joe, if I'm a coach, once again, putting my coach hat on,
yep,
I'm going to start Murray in this series just because of his.
Yes, I was going to say, you have to start Matt Murray and let him carry your team. I don't know that in 5 games you can go with Tristan Jarry to start. You got to go with the guy that's been there, done that, and that's Matt Murray.
Right. Hey, Joe, so you got the Canadians. If this gets into a special teams battle, okay, they're going to be in trouble.
Right.
Okay, because really the Canadians are in the bottom half of the league in both penalty kill and power plays. And when their power play is going semi-decent, it's never been at the same time going well for their penalty kill. So they can't put both together at the same time all year. If they can do it in this playoff run, now would be the time. Where you look at the Penguins, who, you know, yeah, they were only 16th on the power play, Joe, but that's because, you know, you lost a bunch of man games with Crosby and Malkin and Guentzel, but you're going to have all that firepower back. So they're going to be a top 10 power play for sure. And then they're a solid 10th in the penalty kill all year as well. So you don't want to get it into a special teams battle with the Penguins, or you're going to have Carey Price needing to stand on his head. So they need to avoid the box, Joe. If they don't, it's going to be a, you know, maybe a 4-game series at best, for the Pens.
Right.
Go ahead, Joe.
No, so that's one thing I'm worried about and I question, or it's had me wondering. You got, normally going into the playoffs, right? You know what you're getting, but now we have this long layoff. You know, haven't been playing hockey since, what, March? So they're going to get back up in August. Does any of that, I mean, none of that momentum carries over. You see teams play well, the season ends. They start off the next season completely dead. There's so many variables. And now you're in the situation as all these teams know they're playing each other. And they're going to know for months. A lot of times you don't know which team you're playing until the last day of the season.
Yeah, or at least 3 days before.
Right. So you got, a week at most to prepare. And now you got 2 months to figure out how to play this other team. So that's an interesting variable. And then just the fact that you haven't been playing for 4 months. It's crazy. Montreal could come out and look like a completely different team.
And, you know, too, Joe, it's like that might throw out the intangible of playoff experience, really, because, I mean, this is going to be a new experience for everybody. I mean, yeah, once you get on the ice and maybe maybe into the battles, that's where the playoff experience matters. But I don't know, man. This first series, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think it's a survival thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. It's like that. How do you say it? The NCAA tournament, March Madness. You know, you just want to get those top seeded teams. Always want to get by those first two rounds.
Right.
Yep. Those are the how you want to call them, the traps. Those are trap games. Well, this is a trap series for these teams because, let's face it. I mean, there's different preparation. There's different things to look for. Nobody's faced this before, not even Sidney Crosby, guys that have been in the playoffs year in and year out. So you're dealing with that whole different element that is coming into play that's going to keep, you know, people's minds busy, you know. And that's going to be the discipline too. Who handles that better?
Right.
Not to say Pittsburgh, just because they've been through the playoffs before, you know, is going to handle this any better than Montreal.
Yep.
So if Montreal handles it better, that's going to be an edge for them. They don't have many edges in this series. They're people are talking Carey Price. I mean, they're going to be without Victor, Metter, and they're definitely going to lose that Jesperi Kotkaniemi. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that's how you pronounce his name. So those are two guys that usually would add more depth in up front for Montreal. But the Pens have the difference in this series is going to be the depth up front that they have, and if it's a penalty filled series, you know, it's going to bode well for the Pens. So I'll just go out and say it, Joe. I think if it's a penalty filled series, I'm taking the Pens in five. And I'm surprised I'm saying five games. And if it's limited penalties, Habs play discipline, I'm going to pick the Habs in five.
Okay.
If they can maintain their discipline and stay out of the penalty box. So there you have it.
Okay. Well, I am going to take the Penguins, and my final verdict for that was just because I don't want them to lose and win the draft lottery. I don't want them anywhere near that, because whenever Sidney Crosby and the Penguins, they just seem to get the favor of the league. I'm not going to say that the draft lottery is rigged, but it just always seems that they get the benefit. Yeah, they get the things just seem to work out for them. And kind of like when, you know, Sidney Crosby, he was drafted in after the lockout. So, and everyone's balls were thrown in, and Mario Lemieux, I think, had just bought that franchise a year or two prior, and they were in desperate need of a rebuild. And yeah, they land Crosby in the draft lottery. So I don't want history to repeat itself here. I don't want Pittsburgh in that draft lottery spot. So they're going to win this. Yeah. I want them to sweep the Canadians, just get it over with so I don't have to worry about it.
Well, that could very well happen too. I just got a feeling Price is going to have something to say, and this long layoff is going to affect both teams, but it's going to benefit Montreal more than it's going to benefit Pittsburgh. But like I said, if it's a penalty filled game, I'm surprised I'm even giving the Penguins two games. Either way, I'm giving them two wins.
Right.
If it's a disciplined series in 5-on-5, I'm going to take Carey Price as the difference. And even though Matt Murray, I think, will play well, I still think he's going to start over Jarre, but we'll see.
Right. Yeah, I'm hoping that Pittsburgh treats the Montreal Canadiens like a team that has no business being in the playoffs, because Montreal doesn't have business being in the playoffs. So I just hope they're swiftly booted right out. But they do play pretty well at times, you know, from the sample size that we have of the 19-20 season. So they can surprise. I'm just hoping Carey Price has a rough time getting going, and Montreal continues their scoring woes once this postseason starts.
That could very well happen, Joe.
Next matchup, we got 6 versus 11, the Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Rangers. What are your thoughts on that one? The Rangers are another team that was on the outside looking in, and they were in a much better spot than the Canadiens. I think they were only 2 points out of that final wild card spot, so they had a legitimate chance to qualify for the playoffs. Carolina was one of those teams that was 2 points ahead of them, holding on to that first wild card position. This is one that I think, you know, we talked about Carey Price. This is a series I think is going to come down to the goaltending matchup, and you got to give the edge to the Rangers when you're talking goalies.
Yeah, they got 3 goalies they can start over there, but you know, it's amazing to me, Joe. I think people sometimes look at the season series and they put too much emphasis on that. So this might be one of those series that is, you know, that proves that theory, right? Mm-hmm. Because you got the Rangers just ran through Carolina in 4 games, and you had Lundqvist was 3-0 versus Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, a sick 950 save percentage in the 3 games, and then they didn't play him in the 4th game. You know, Dave Quinn, the coach, you know, elected to start the other kid, Shesterkin.
Okay.
You know, who had a good, you know, he was 10-2 this year, you know, and when he got recalled in January. He had a 932 save percentage himself with a 2.52 goals against average. So their Rangers are looking good in goaltender. They could actually play any one of their 3 goalies and probably feel pretty good about themselves. You know, with this series, you got 2 pretty good offenses, okay? But I think the edge goes to Carolina because of their defensive core. And we spoke about that last show. With their young defensive core, I think they probably got the top 5 defensemen unit in the league, and they're all young. Mm-hmm. So I think that might be the difference for me, Joe, in this series. You know, Carolina's got some guys that, you know, have playoff experience too, and I love their power play. I guess there's a few keys though in this series. You know, I'm not really sure. You know, we got Chris Kreider was able to come back. Another benefit for this layoff because he had that fractured foot in, I think, the last day of February. But this layoff allowed him to come back and should be in full strength and be back reunited with who's the kid that scored the 6 goals, 5 goals the other day. Zibanejad.
Okay.
And Pavel Buckrevich. Those dudes had, a 33 game span together, Joe. I think they combined for 94 points or something like that. Which is pretty good numbers in modern day hockey today.
Right.
On their second line, Joe, isn't nothing to sneeze at either. It's Jesper Fast and you got Strome and you got who I believe is going to be a Hart Trophy candidate, Panarin,
mm-hmm.
who's third in the league with 95 points. So they do it a little more finesse-y than the other Kreider line with Zibanejad and Pavel Buchres, who are a little bit more hard to the net, more gritty. They go hard to the cage, and which may give Carolina some problems, but those two top lines score in different ways. And if Panarin can get his line to get greasy goals, I think you might see the Rangers, you know, do very well in the series. But I'm just looking at the depth and Carolina has and the fact that they've done it before in the playoffs. Both offense and defensively. I like their power play. I'm going to say, because of those things, it could make a series, win for them in 4 games. But the key for me, if the Rangers are going to have any chance at all, and it's funny I'm saying this because they won four games versus them this year. But once again, I think you need to throw that out in this series because I think Carolina's got Dougie Hamilton back from his injury. Mm-hmm. They didn't have him most of the games. He just adds a different element, a bigger body back there. But the key for the Rangers, you got to have is Zibanejad remain consistent like he was in the regular season? Can he score playoff goals? You know, some people are regular season players, some are playoff players. You know, let's see if he can handle the grind. And what about Strom and Panarin? You know, they must chip in, as I mentioned already, with Fast to create some offense on that from that second line if they're going to have a chance. And their penalty kill's got to stop Carolina's power play because Carolina moves it pretty good on that five-man set when they get set up in that power play zone.
Right.
They can be pretty dangerous. But I don't know. I just don't think the Rangers can match up Carolina. In that department. But we'll see. And the thing with Carolina too, I think they can't, it's up to the coach, and that's Brenda Moore. I think we mentioned that, right?
Yep.
He's basically, Joe, he needs to get his players focused on what they did last year in the playoffs and build off that.
Right.
Pretty much the same team. And then they're going to have the Rangers who are going to build on the fact that they – pretty much have Carolina's number, you know, since they've been playing and since, in 2011, you know, when they restructured the divisions. I think they're 31-6 versus Carolina since February of 2011, which is a pretty, pretty big disparity for divisional foes, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, that's quite a few game difference there. That's for sure. That's quite a bit of disparity.
It is, and that's going to play in the heads, and that's where coaching comes into play, Joe. Because, like I just mentioned, it's Brenda Moore's job to deflect that,
right,
and it's the Rangers' job to build on that as a coaching staff. So it'll be interesting to see, but I'm going to pick Carolina in four just because of their defense, Joe.
Okay, I had a tough time with this one going back and forth because Carolina, they score some goals. They're no slouch offensively. We talked in our other show about the young team they have and the number of goals that they can put up. They have a lethal power play. They have a number of guys that can score. And they have a really good defense that makes up for, I guess, what you could say they lack in goaltending, even though they do get some pretty good goaltending out of Reimer and Mrazek from time to time. The Rangers, with Lundqvist, he's obviously their aging, vet. You got a couple other young goalies there that played really well this season. Like you said, could probably step in and play well. But their defense isn't as good over there in New York, with Panarin and a couple other guys they have. They score quite a few goals. It's one of the classic, who wins, the team that scores more or the team that plays better defense? But I think that the Rangers are going to sneak this one out in a long five-game series, and I think it's just going to be taking out the defense and the offense. I think Henrik Lundqvist is going to steal the series for him if he plays. Even if he doesn't play, I think even if he doesn't play, I mean, I think he will. He seemed to split time most of the season, but even if he doesn't play, I think the other two goalies are better than Mrazek and Reimer. And I spoke last time we talked that Mrazek, if he's the one that gets the start, he played well their last playoff run, but he does go through patches of inconsistency, and in five games, you can't have that.
So. Yeah, you're right, Joe. Mrazek, whoever they play in the net over there, it's like the thing that I marvel, though, about Carolina is they're they really limit the opponent's scoring chances more than any team, I think, in the NHL.
Right. Yes, they do.
And that,
yes.
That could make an average goalie like Mrazek and Reimer a lot better. So, you know, evidently that's the only way they're still in the NHL, because I personally think there's a lot of better goalies than either one of them. But I think because their system is so tight and they have enough offensive skill that can play off that turnover and the fact they have puck possession, it limits those scoring chances and makes Mrazek and Reimer appear to be better than they really are.
Right.
So, yeah, but that'll be something to watch for as well. And every one of these series has something to watch for, Joe. And the next series is, if I may segue into it, it's sure. No different. You got New York Islanders, 7th seed, going against Florida, the 10th seed. There's a matchup of these teams that really aren't built the same. What you take?
Right. Yeah, no. As you say, this is one that the Islanders, they have a real good defense. They don't score a lot. Florida scores a lot, and they don't have a good defense. So it's one of those who's going to break. And the Islanders, similar to the Rangers, the Islanders won all three times that these teams played. And I don't know. This one I had a tough time picking. Just basically because of those differences. You don't score and you don't give up goals versus a team that gives up goals and can score enough to cover it. I like Florida in the series, even though I know the Islanders with Lamoriello, with Barry Trotz, and we've seen what they can do in the playoffs. They had the last season. They have the better record. They can roll four lines and play that shutdown type of game. And obviously they did it to Florida during the regular season. But I think this one is going to come down to, you know, what I mentioned earlier in this episode. Florida knows they're playing the Islanders for 2 months, and they know what they did wrong in those other three games. I think that's going to give them a little bit of a leg up in their planning here on what they need to fix and the tape that they're going to be watching. And I think they're going to have a good game plan, and I think they're going to be able to put up enough goals to steal the series and knock the Islanders out in this qualifying round.
Hey, Joe, I'm looking at the coaching matchup here. That's pretty interesting. Got Barry Trotz, who basically probably one of the better coaches at getting a team to play and stay within a system that he implements.
Right.
You got the Islanders playing shutdown, discipline defense, you know, first style.
Mm-hmm.
Clogging the neutral zone, probably better than any team in the NHL. And then there's Florida, who's coached by a three-time cup-winning Joel Quenneville, who kind of has the makings of an early Chicago type team here. He's only his scorers are pretty sizable forwards that they never had in Chicago, but other than Hossa. But Florida is one of these teams that basically will trade chances. Okay. They'll give up a scoring chance to get a scoring chance. And I'm not sure that's going to play too well into their hand. That's kind of the way I'm thinking this series is going to unfold. But I do think the key for Florida is they got to be patient. So probably play a little bit more defensive minded, pick and choose their spots. And that's not easy to do when all year you're playing one way and maybe a coach asks you to make an adjustment on the fly.
Right.
I think it's the only way, Joe, they're going to get out of this series playing against a disciplined, gutty, scrappy, hardworking, constantly in your face team like the Islanders. It's not an easy way to go into the playoffs, you know, trading chance for chance. Who's Florida's goalie over there? I didn't look that up.
I was just in the process of looking it up. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Yeah, go.
While you're doing that, I'm basically going to tell you the key players for Florida. They're all 20 goal scorers. You got Huberdeau, you got Barkov, who are big forwards. Hoffman's no small guy, and Dadonov. Those are all guys that have put in over 20 goals. Defensively, they got Ekblad and Keith Yandle, who can hurt you too offensively, but play very well defensively as well. So, unfortunately, a lot of their roster is loose. A lot of holes defensively for Florida. That's why they had Chris Dreiger over there, didn't they?
Yeah, I think they're Bobrovsky's their starter.
So Bobrovsky's always been inconsistent for Columbus. Not really sure who they're going to go with there. Dreiger seems like he doesn't have playoff experience. He seems poised enough to maybe be the guy, but I think they're going to have to. Bobrovsky played like 49 games out of the.
Right. Yeah, he was their go-to guy the entire season.
But I almost think, you know, maybe the other kid, maybe if Bobrovsky has an early falter, they plug this kid and just ride the wave with him. He's a very good goaltender, and Florida has played well in front of him. So, you know, there could be some of that, because I know early Columbus days when Bobrovsky used to face the wings and Columbus had more skilled team than they do now offensively, and they were always thought to maybe, hey, it's our time to upseed the wings. It was always Bobrovsky that would be the weak link to making that happen. So not really sure he's the answer for a long playoff run. But I do like Florida's sizable forwards, and you know, it's just you're going against a team though in the Islanders that have notable playoff experience. Got Eberle, Bailey, Barzal, Nelson, and Anders Lee.
Right.
I think if Florida wants to play it too loose and you know, opens it up too much, I think those guys are skilled enough to make you pay on a turnover through the neutral.
Right. So, yeah, you talked about that when we were covering the Islanders last show. The guys up front that could make you pay if you give them the chance to do so.
Well, that being said, and the fact that the Islanders, I think, have maybe an edge in goalie, or actually not necessarily there, but I'm just saying I think going against Florida's goaltending, which isn't all that great in my eyes, I think they're gonna beat Florida in four games, Joe.
All right,
that's my prediction.
All right, let's go with the last matchup of the Eastern Conference. Another interesting one. The Toronto Maple Leafs and the Columbus Blue Jackets in the 8-9 matchup. They split their season series. You got a high-scoring Toronto team that gives up quite a few goals versus a low-scoring Columbus team that's stingy defensively. And they actually had they were tied at the break for the third fewest goals against in the NHL.
Yeah, this is actually my favorite series, obviously, out of the ones we've discussed so far, maybe even the whole playoffs itself. But kind of interesting thought, Joe. I got to thinking, you know, Columbus came in my head when I saw this matchup, and I saw what they did to Tampa Bay last year, and I'm thinking Toronto pretty much is the same type of team in one aspect, offensively, and I think Tampa had better defense because I like some of their defensive players over there, and I just don't think Toronto ever improved on that area.
Oh yeah, definitely not.
So I'm looking at being that Columbus is a heavy team, tough team to play against physically. They could make this series real miserable for the Maple Leafs, and I'm wondering if maybe Tortorelli is an edge here too, because he probably, in my eyes, is going to be up for the Jack Adams. But do you think he's going to use the same blueprint he did against Tampa Bay with a few slight twists and turns?
You probably could. I mean, like you said, Tampa was probably a better team all around than this Toronto team is. And Toronto, obviously, they have the pieces up front to score, and their defense is suspect. I mean, their goalie was hurt all year. Is Anderson, is he going to be ready to play in the postseason?
I believe he's ready to go. So that they've already talked about that, and he really he's one of these guys that has a different he's got a different problem than say the what the goaltenders for Columbus are thinking right now. He basically has a long rest, and you know, he's ready to go. He's going to take on the load, whereas the Columbus goaltenders might be doing it by committee throughout the playoffs. Not sure how that's going to play out yet, but the Columbus goalies don't have any playoff experience, where Frederik Andersen does.
Right.
You know,
and
so
he was projected to be out for quite a while, but he ended up not being out for too long, didn't he?
Andersen? Yeah, I did. I don't think they didn't mention anything about an injury, so he must have overcome that. So,
okay.
I don't
know. I remember, and I think it was back at the very beginning of the year where he was out, and they were, I think Babcock might have even still been the coach of the team at the time, and they were talking about Hutchinson, and Andersen was slated to miss some time, but I don't think it was long term. So yeah, he should be healthy and good to go. He did play most of the season. I think it was just a short period early. They're worried that he was going to need some surgery or something. But so yeah, they're going to be set on goaltending. They just don't have the defense on that Toronto side.
It's been a problem even when Babcock was over there. I mentioned it to Zach many times, and you know, everybody's talking Toronto, 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 but I'm thinking there's no way they're going to win a cup because their defense is just, they're so loose below the dots. I mean, they're just so careless with the puck. Hasn't gotten any better, Joe. You know what's weird? You got the Maple Leafs, they have 238 goals for, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got the Blue Jackets, who basically have only 180. You think no way are the Blue Jackets going to win this series. But then you look at the other stat where, you know, the Leafs have allowed 227 goals.
Mm-hmm.
So really, that's only an 11 goal, like,
yep, positive. Differential. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, differential. And I don't know, man, but they've allowed 40 more goals than the Blue Jackets. So I kind of like the Blue Jackets in that the fact that they're built more for the playoffs, Joe. And it's a big thing with me, and it was with the Wings for years after, you know, 2009. I always said they've got too many Darren Helm type players, you know, to be able to match up against certain teams in the playoffs to make a long run.
Right.
And the Blue Jackets do not have that problem. Yes, they lack scoring. They need to get that right, as we discussed in the draft. But, you know, this is going to be a unique series because of that stat. You know, it's another weird thing. These teams have played in 19 seasons, okay, since the Blue Jackets existed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Since they moved to the Eastern Conference, I think. Is that right? 19, or when did they start? And when was there a...
When did they move conference? What?
Yeah.
I'm drawing a blank. It wasn't too long ago. It's probably longer than you're thinking, but it wasn't too long ago.
Well, maybe this is it. Have they only been in the league for, they've been in the league for more than 19 years, haven't they?
It seems like they have.
Yeah.
That would take back to 2001. No, 2000. Yeah, 2000. That's accurate.
I'll go back 19 seasons. These two teams have only played each other 30 times, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're thinking in a modern-day world where scheduling is key and you're trying to market teams in different areas and an original six franchise and a team that maybe in a going – it, with that history, going into a new market like Ohio, even though they've had the Cleveland Barons there, I don't count them.
Mm-hmm.
But you think they would, the Maple Leafs, an original six team, would show up on their roster more than 30 times? So I found that to be an interesting little sub, little tidbit with this series. Getting back to the play, however, I think Tavares is going to have to really take this team on his shoulders. Because, you know, the Leafs have not won a playoff series, Joe, in 16 years.
Yeah. Yep.
So he needs to step up to make it happen. And my other question is, Tortorella could be a key, more so than any other coach in the playoffs. Normally, you know, I wouldn't put the focus, you know, to everything happens on the ice, but, right, you know, coaches right. are important. But I think Tortorella in this series is probably going to be more important than some of the other coaches based on the dynamic of the series and what he's going to be up against to implement a game plan to frustrate Toronto.
Right. Well, it's been a long time even since they played. They played their two matchups in the regular season were in the first month and a half. You know, Columbus opened up the season at home against Toronto, and Toronto won that game 4-1. And then they played both 2 weeks later, October 21st. Ooh. Columbus won that game 4-3. So it's pretty much been a full season since they played a hockey game against each other.
Weird to me because there's been other seasons where they haven't even played each other. So I didn't think that was possible in the NHL. I thought the teams played everybody, but evidently not.
Yeah,
so,
they did. That was weird the way they did it because Columbus was in the Western Conference up until 2013. So that first 13 years, there was something weird. I want to say after like the 2004, 2005 lockout season. Where they switched that rule, and it might be just one time you played a team from the other conference that season. You would play them at home, but then you wouldn't play them in their facility until the following year. So it's crazy. they probably did only play each other like once a year for maybe 8-9 years until they switched to the Eastern Conference, and now they're in separate divisions and they're only playing twice. See, I think Columbus is in, they're not in the Atlantic, right? Or are they? It's hard for me to keep track now. I want them to go back to the 80s. I want it to be the Norris and the Smythe so I can keep track of everyone.
Norris, Smythe, Adams, Patrick, all that good stuff. Yeah, I just know that this is you're dealing with a tough series here. You got the third best offense versus the fourth worst offense.
Right.
You know, this basically, Joe, this is your typical offense versus defense, you know, and then you got both teams that have had unstable goaltending all year. Mm-hmm. And the difference to me there is the Seth Jones, Werenski, and the other defensive core that Columbus throws out there. That's going to probably be the difference in this series. And I don't think Sheldon Keefe is going to have an answer for the heavy forechecking and hard hitting Columbus Blue Jackets. So I'm going to basically say Columbus in five. And I think the pause in the season helped Columbus get some of their key players back and maybe give Atkinson a new lease on life because he's just been having injury filled season and he hasn't been the same player. So maybe this will be he'll be able to come back and reclaim and salvage some of this season.
Yep. I agree with you. I think, like you said, the classic offensive team versus the defensive team and who can prevail. Columbus does have not the best goaltending situation. Toronto has the edge there with Anderson. Columbus obviously has the edge on the defensive side. Toronto the edge on the offensive side. So I think it'll be a 5-game series. But I'm going to take Toronto. And my decider there is I don't want Toronto in the draft lottery.
Another one, no.
Yep, it came down to I don't want them anywhere near Even though it doesn't, I mean, if they did win that stupid draft lottery and get Lafreniere, they wouldn't be able to, they'd really be in a salary cap mess 3-4 years from now. But
yeah, cause they got money tied up into Matthews and Marner. But
No, I kidding aside on that one. That was more for Pittsburgh. But I just think, I think with Bobrovsky in goal, even though Columbus is stingy defensively and they can create a lot of offense from the defensive side of the puck, their top three defensemen score quite a few goals, you know, led by Werenski. They can make a good first pass and get the puck out. I just think Toronto's going to score too much for them. I think they'll be able to overcome that goaltending situation and win those three games.
Well, I think the Blue Jackets are going to just play their system and just grind yep. Toronto into submission. But, yep. but Joe, they're getting their top scorer, Oliver Bjorkstrand, back, Atkinson, like I said, right. with the factor that he will bring. Josh Anderson might be back. So if he can come back and then take that into consideration, I think if Toronto can match, Columbus in their physical presence. And what I mean by that is not for hit for hit.
Right.
What I mean is, can they handle it without it slowing down how they play? Because, you know, let's face it, some guys, they start getting hit, and the Wings haven't learned this yet. This is a big problem I have with them. If they play a physical team, it just takes them takes their top players,
right,
you know, out of the game.
Yep.
Mentally, they don't do things like, whereas before you'd have Zetterberg there and all that, and when the games got physical, he's still showing that he's going to go and do the things that he's still good at. He's
right.
not going to let a physical game take him out of that mindset. Now, if Toronto can get big games from, or big series from, Hyman mm-hmm. and Clifford,
mm-hmm.
they brought Clifford over, and you know, I almost felt the shutdown hurt him because he couldn't play because he's up for a new contract. So, I think that last 2 months would have been huge because he's the type of player that Toronto needs.
Right.
I think he can have a playoff along with Muzzin on the blue line there to keep like Foligno and big forwards that Columbus have like from totally dominating like second mm-hmm. shot opportunities.
Right. Yep.
Columbus is going to beat you with ugly goals.
Yes.
While they stifle you.
Yes.
And a guy like Muzzin's a big body and he's going to have to be like a Bob Rouse was with the Red Wings, you know, mm-hmm. that type of presence. If those three guys can match, then I'm thinking Toronto's offense will, you know, be the difference. But if those three players and others on those third and fourth lines and, you know, third and fourth defensive pairings, don't play heavy, Columbus is just going to, like I said, just grind them.
Yeah. If it comes down to a coaching duel, that's obviously Tortorella's gonna take that and outcoach the coach in Toronto.
Oh, young Sheldon. Yep.
Yeah, he'll win that matchup any day against most coaches in the league. But yeah, I think that Columbus team is definitely more suited for the playoffs and a playoff run than Toronto, just because they're not well-rounded enough defensively. If Toronto does win that series, I don't see them getting out of this. I guess the first round, the qualifying round, isn't counting as the first round. It's still starting with round one. So, yeah, I think Toronto will get the win. It'll sneak it out in five and get in, but they're not going to go any further than that. So I guess technically, does this count as if Toronto won? Would that count as them ending their playoff drought? In my books, it doesn't count. I just view it as a qualifying round.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, so you're really kicking Toronto in the nutsack.
Yeah, I'm a stickler for that one. It's a qualifying round. It's not the playoffs.
Okay, well, you hate Pittsburgh and you hate Toronto.
So, I don't know. Do you give it to them? Do you give it to them? I know they're calling it a 2014 playoff, but they are calling it a qualifying round. So if Toronto wins, does that count?
It's a big market. Bettman will give it to them. We'll leave it at that. But who would they play, Joe, if they win, get by that series? Are they reseeding? Or?
They're reseeding, but we don't know because those four teams. Yeah, those four teams. Toronto would be the lowest seed based off of. Well, no, it would based off of who else wins, right? If Montreal, the Rangers, or Florida get an upset,
it would also bank on how
the seeding. Yep.
They play out because they're going to play for a purpose as well.
Right. So yeah, there's completely unknown who they would play, but whoever they're going to play is going to be a much better and more well-rounded team, either Boston, Tampa, Washington, or Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's a tough draw, man. That's they're already getting a tough draw playing Columbus, so they're going to be physically beat up, Joe. And actually, Toronto is not. You know, it's funny, but. You know, Montreal almost has an easier road. Go figure.
Right? No, they, if the playoffs would have went normal, I think Pittsburgh would have ended up playing Toronto in that first round.
Yeah, I bet you. See, now I bet you Bettman's at home thinking, man, I wish these were in the regular cities
right. And
we didn't have to worry about this hub city stuff because. You know, I got Sidney Crosby coming into Montreal and I, you know, all that type of stuff. You know, you kind of lose that nuance, but I'm still anxious to find out what two cities they decide on. I was hoping it would have been four, but, you know, break it up that way. You technically could have did that in four regions. I think they blew it there, but.
Yeah. No, actually, I'm looking. I think it would have went Washington, Columbus, Boston, Carolina, and then it might have been Philly, Pittsburgh in round one, and Tampa, Toronto.
I think it was because you and I talked about that Philly Pittsburgh matchup just being a war, and I'm thinking that would have been a good thing for the NHL too because. Those two teams, I think Philly's for real, Joe. We're going to talk about them. We talked about them already, but we're going to be talking about them, I think, in the second round because I think they're for real.
They were the hottest team in the league when the stoppage occurred. And they were 9-1 in that 10-game stretch, and they're actually 9-0. They lost their final game before the stoppage. So they're making a run at booting Washington out of that top spot because Washington was playing 500 hockey at that time. Right. So, yeah, Philly was going to overtake the Caps.
This is food for thought, too. You know, you talk about – let's just talk about players real quick about, you know, they're running out of time to win a cup. You know, we talked about Carey Price. You know, probably some people would like to see him hoisted, even though it's in Montreal and they've won a plethora of cups team-wise.
Right.
But –
Right.
You know, what about Claude Giroux?
Yeah. No, that's another guy.
I mean,
guy.
I'm not a big Philly fan, but I'm not a big Philly guy, but I wouldn't be all that upset seeing him hoist the Stanley Cup. But do you have any favorites around the league right now, Joe, that might be leaning towards off the top of your head before we end this?
Off the top of my head, no, there's no one. No, I mean, obviously, I would have loved to see Joe Thornton win the Stanley Cup. Nowhere close to happening. It would be nice to see a guy, maybe even like Ryan Getzlaf, make another run in his.
But what about Stamkos?
But yeah, that's Stamkos. He's still got.
He has a great one, has he?
Have been on the team, and didn't they win in? Was it 03, 04?
I can't remember. Has he been around that long?
He hasn't been around that long.
But I guarantee you, maybe we should make that a show where you go through every playoff team and pick a guy who we would really sentimentally like to see hoist a cup. Maybe we can do that next week in one of our segments.
No, you're right. Hold on. So they won. Tampa won in 04. And yeah, Stamkos was in the league in 08.
Yeah.
So he missed it by a few years. So he would be a good one. Obviously, I don't want Boston to win just because of Marchand. He's such a good hockey player. I wish he was more likable.
Yeah, I mean, he's a throwback, though, if that's one good thing. I mean, you would have hated Ted Lindsay then.
Yeah. Stamkos is a good one. Everyone else outside of Giroux, obviously Ovechkin.
Well, you got the Rangers. You got Lundqvist,
Carey Price. Yeah. See, Carey Price, not this year. Like, Montreal doesn't deserve, like I said, Montreal deserves to be handed their
nothing.
Exit from this playoff, this qualifying round. That's one that will irritate me if they get out of this if Pittsburgh lets them get out of this qualifying round, that'll irk me. But yeah, if it was a normal year and Montreal was in, Carey Price would obviously be a guy you'd like to see win the cup, but not this year.
Well, I could think of probably every team probably has a guy that you could actually pick and say, yeah, you know, maybe. I mean, Phoenix, I mean, are they playing?
They'll be playing. They're, did they make it in the top 12? They did. Yeah, they'll make it. They squeaked in. They were just out of the playoffs by about 4 points.
Yeah, you got Taylor Hall over there. Maybe you could think about him, but he hasn't really, I don't know. He's one of them quiet guys. And Edmonton, you got probably, you don't want to say McDavid or anything. He's too new, but.
Yeah, he's got a lot of time.
Yeah, I don't think they're pretty much a young team too. So I don't know if there's really anybody there you really have a sentimental bond to, but there's got to be some guys that are pushing 15 years in this league that, you know, you could say, hey, yeah, you know, I'd like to see him hoist the cup. But Claude Giroux is probably my guy for the whole playoff. I had to pick somebody who's paid the price.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. There's probably someone at Nashville we could come up with.
Yeah.
They're not,
I'm not a Subban fan, so I would
no.
I wouldn't. I'm not a, you know, he's not even, Devils aren't even in, are they?
The Devils were, yeah, they were terrible this year.
Yeah, okay.
They were the second worst team in the East.
Well, Jack Hughes has been a little, I mean, I remember Zach and I talked about that. I'm not really sure that, you know, he's going to have to adjust to the body grind, physical grind of the NHL. But what about Giordano in Calgary? He'd be a good guy you'd want to see hoist a cup.
Right. Right. They're going to have – Calgary's going to have a tough round one or qualifying round matchup. So, yeah, let's conclude. We'll just cover real quick. Next time we're going to cover the Western Conference, where the four matchups are Edmonton, Chicago, Nashville, Arizona, Vancouver, Minnesota, and then I just mentioned Calgary draws the Winnipeg Jets in that qualifying matchup.
Sounds good, Joseph.
All right. Till next time, Joe and Tom, we'll see you back here next time on the lighter side.